There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. As it is 3 o'clock, as we're live here at Buffalo Wild Wings, and make your way on out here, man. It's a good time to be had. We are at the Willowbrook Plaza location, and it's right on the other side of the highway from Willowbrook Mall. Come hang out. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. These guys who just walked in, if you have not filled your name out and put it in the raffle box. Well, there's some action there. If you've not filled it out and put it in the raffle box, you got a chance to win several things. And we're going to hook somebody up first, starting in this hour. Your chance to win not one but two different $25 Visa gift cards. And the big one, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Texans take on the Tennessee Titans. They will be wearing Tennessee Titans jerseys, I believe. But they'll take on the Tennessee Titans. No, they might try to wear them Oilers jerseys.
Put those uniforms back in the trunk.
That'd be a damn thing if they came in, if they tried to come into Houston wearing those Oilers jerseys.
Put them up.
There you go. And get Andre to tell them, put them damn things up. Andre said, open up the trunk and put them damn things up.
Put them up.
Put the damn things up. Every time he says that, it gets me going. But you got a chance to win those tickets, courtesy of Bud Light. Also, a pair of wristbands for tailgating. Get you a couple of free drinks, some free food as well, so you can roll through. You talked about some earlier, Clint, about, hey, the race to 9 for the Texans. The race to 9. We were talking, if they go 4-4, they would win 10. That would most definitely get them in and match what they did last year. But as you look at the division, it is a little weaker. And I'm wondering, from you and the people, those of you on the text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, what are your thoughts on here? Any concern, any fear that the Texans could have a Jags-like collapse? Because if we're honest, like, we talked about it last week after the Jets game, and it wasn't just the Jets game, because it's the Jets and the Colts game before it and the Packer game before it. They have struggled with really the same things for the past month plus, to be honest with you. And it's gotten worse and worse, and now they've had some injuries as well to deal with. Any concern that they have a Jags-like collapse? And when I say a Jags-like collapse, last year the Jags were 8-3 after they left here beating the Texans narrowly. They were 8-3. And then they finished this thing off 1-5. The only win they got was against the worst team in football, the Carolina Panthers. And they missed the playoffs, missed the division title. They had it all in their hands. The Texans tracked them down. The Colts almost tracked them down. Any fear of a Jags-like collapse for this team?
No. No, I don't. I know some of the real conversations that we have on here. People may be led to believe that I am completely out on the Texans. That is not the case. I don't believe there's a Jags-like collapse in here. I think the floor of this football team is way too high. I do believe that they're well coached. I believe they got dudes. Even when they're injured, they still got dudes on both sides of the football. They play really well together as a unit for the most part. Definitely on defense. And I think in situational football that they've been good. Their defense has been unbelievably clutch. Yeah, I don't see the wheels coming off the way they did in Jacksonville a year ago. No, I think they've got some things they need to clear up, or they're not even going to be I mean, hell, they've already fell out of the some analysts, they've already fell out of their top 10 in the entire league. So they're moving the wrong direction, but I don't believe, given their start, I don't believe that there's a collapse out there where the Texans don't make the playoffs. No, I don't believe that.
Yeah, one, I don't think they have a Texans team running them down. I think that's it. Like, the Jags last year had a Texans team they had just beaten but was getting stronger.
Yep.
And you could see them getting better. I don't know. We'll see what the Joe Flacco being the new quarterback, how that looks. I do think it probably right now, the way Anthony was playing, gives them a better chance to win. They very easily could have won that game against the Vikings. They got another game against Buffalo that I think's an L. But their schedule does kind of ease up after that, and the Texans obviously gets tougher. But that's a big one. I don't think the Colts, because really the Jags had the Colts and the Texans last year kind of running them down as they were improving. I don't think there is any team that's like the Texans behind them. But also, man, Clint, we've talked a lot this week. I just can't see C.J. Stroud letting that happen, man. I'm not ready to go with the sophomore slump thing. I'm not ready to go with the, yo, maybe we judged him too soon. Maybe he is not the guy we thought he was. No, I'm not ready to get there, Clint. I don't think he would let this happen, and he can't let this happen. I think he can. I'm not talking about Super Bowl or nothing, but I think he can at least be a fix. I think C.J. Stroud is the number one reason they can't have a collapse like this. Unless he gets injured, Clint. I think he can fix this enough.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You mentioned, you took the words out of my mouth on one of them. He could, the way they're playing right now, he could very well get injured. Knock on wood, hope it doesn't happen. But I agree with you overall. I think even when C.J. I think C.J. is the quickest fix to this offense. There's several problems, but I think fixing C.J. would be the quickest way to fixing it and making it a better team. Even when C.J. is playing the game as aggressively as he is, he makes enough plays throughout a game where you're going to score points and you're going to get in the playoffs. You may not beat Kansas City. You may not beat Baltimore. You may not beat Detroit this weekend, but you're going to win enough football games to get into the playoffs. I agree with that point. But the injury thing is real. And the other thing that we talked about Tuesday that I think is real, and I don't think it comes into play here, but I do think it's part of the story, the long-term story, is, you know, we saw C.J. Stroud, and let's be honest, like this year, since he's been getting hit more and been under more pressure, we've seen C.J. Stroud miss throws that we just hadn't seen him miss rookie year.
He is clearly affected.
Yes.
We watched plays where his feet are just
– right.
Bouncing up and down,
right? So if that keeps compounding and they don't fix the problems to some degree, whether it's him or it's Bobby or it's the O-line, if they don't fix it to some degree, you better believe that over the next 8 ball games, that's going to gradually get worse. And so it's something now we don't bank on or you don't think about, but we're already starting to see it a tad bit. If they don't right the ship offensively and figure some things out, it could affect quarterbacks in a major, major way. I still think C.J. Stroud is above that, but boy, a couple more games of getting hit the way that he's gotten hit changes the way he sees the game.
And my thought with that, Clint, is I just, again, like, the thought is that he's going to keep doing, like, it's going to keep looking like this. And you have made this comment multiple times. I think C.J. is a smart, smart player, and we've seen that last year, his entire career, college career, he is a smart player. And yes, I do believe this is taking a lot longer than I believe it should be taking for them to figure this out and figure out at least some sort of adjustment, all of them. But I believe that this is a smart kid that will at some point figure out some of the things you've talked about. All right, I've got to make up for what it is. I've got to change my game. I just don't believe, until I see new evidence. Now, if we see this on Sunday against the Lions, and we see it, the Cowboys game, that's going to be the one that really determines it. If we see him just, I'm going to hold this thing. If we see him not adjust the way that he plays football and continues to allow this to happen on his end and doesn't do things on his end to change things, then maybe I'll change my mind. But I still believe that this kid that can at least fix this, and that he will at least now come to a point now, I gotta stop doing this the way that I've been doing. I've gotta change this. You're sitting here looking at things that he can do. As you talked about, go watch the Jets. He can do that. He sees these things. We've seen him do it last year, and I believe he will eventually get to that point before it just gets to a place where they just collapse like hell.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I expected him 2 weeks ago to make the change, but
you're right. That's what I said. I'm surprised it's taken this long. I mean,
the reality of it is, fair or foul, with as well as he played last year, the expectations are probably a little bit ridiculous for a second year quarterback in this league. But that's where he's at, and that's what the expectations are. To me, the thing is, you talk about this all the time about a quarterback that the greats are fixers, and CJ showed glimpses of that last year. There's no question about it. I think there's showing glimpses or having a small sample size of a year is a great thing. It's a great start, but the thing that makes these guys great, I'm talking about the top quarterbacks in the league, is they're fixers year in, year out. I'll use Joe Burrow right now because he's the conversation of a lot of the talk shows this morning with Thursday Night Football being Baltimore and Cincinnati. But the conversation this morning is about Joe Burrow playing at an MVP level. If his defense was better, he'd be in the conversation. If they win down the stretch, he definitely will be in the conversation. But if you listen to what they're saying about him, they're talking about how quick he gets the ball out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about how often he's throwing the ball to the right person and how he avoids getting in trouble. Like that's you can't do that for a year and be in the conversation with the greats. Over time, you got to do it year in, year out, so you're not a flash in the pan. This is an opportunity for CJ Stroud to at some point figure that out, and all of a sudden it's another year stacked on last year of, hey man, this kid's a fixer. Right now, what's going on? He's making some plays. There's no doubt he's making some plays. But the better these defenses get and the more he takes hits and the more they don't figure things out, the rougher it's going to get. He's got to fix these things.
A couple of comments from the text line. Ron with an H. It's no H in there. Just R-O-N, not
R-O-H-N. Yeah. Lerone. I like that. Rone.
What you have to realize, though, is CJ has never been hit this many times in his entire career. When he played for Ohio State, they had a great offensive line and played a lot of inferior teams. They just dominated. He has never been beat up this much in his career. I would agree with that. But he played with an inferior offensive line last year, and his game was different. He did things to help his offensive line all year long. He did things to help that. So he is very, very capable of doing that. And he's not dumb. He's very capable of doing this. I know it's bad. I know the offensive line is bad, but he is capable of doing it. Somebody else here on the text line, guys, the offensive line can't block, but Clint is talking about fixing it. CJ, that sounds crazy. And someone else texted in, Mahomes couldn't survive behind this line and play calling. And I think those things come together, Clint, and I disagree. I believe today's Patrick Mahomes, who does not – Patrick Mahomes' tackles are below average. He is feeling pressure all the time. This guy with this experience finds a way to get through it and get around it all the time. He does. Now, I think today's Patrick Mahomes, in the game that we remember the offensive line was really bad against the Tampa Bay Bucs, I believe he would have given his team a better shot with the experience he has now. I don't think it would have looked as bad. I think he would have gotten the ball out quicker. I think he would have done things to hurt that pass rush or to go against that pass rush. So I think it is very, very capable for him to do things to help this and it not look as bad as it is looking right now.
Well, like that text you're talking about, CJ Stroud's offensive line can't block. Like that's what the Texans. It looks like, if you watch how the Texans have adjusted, that's what it looks like everybody in that building, over there in that building, believes, is that CJ, there's no need for CJ to adjust. There's no need for Bobby to adjust what he's calling. Just keep doing the same thing over and over again and putting this offensive line that's not as good as you thought they are, but keep putting these guys in a position where every time you call a pass, I bet it's 90% last week. I bet it's 90% with Quinnen Williams on the other side of the ball and what was McDonald the fourth, right? These guys rushing.
And Hassan Reddick was coming on the other side.
Forgot about that guy. Yeah, him too. Hey, keep snapping the football and keep nothing was quick. The screen game was non-existent, literally non-existent. Like there are adjustments that can be made to help the offensive line. And instead,
from both the play caller and the quarterback.
Yes, and instead, everybody around the offensive line is continuing to do things the same way and expect something different up front. And you're not going to get that. Take note from the conversations on TV right now being had about Joe Burrow. Take note of the Thursday night football game that you lost to a 2-6 football team that's one of the most dysfunctional organizations in football.
Right, well, you said clearly Aaron adjusted what he did in the second half.
There's no question. I mean, it's... when he did throw the ball down the field, it was because the corners were pressed and there was no deep help, so he'd catch it and get that one up immediately as well. So it's the thought that, oh boy, it's just the offensive line. No, there is. If I were watching a team that it was solely the offensive line, I would tell you. I'd be real quick. There ain't nothing they can do. They just suck.
And
up
sometimes
front.
There are plays that is the case.
Sure, sure.
Sometimes there are plays where they have just gotten their asses kicked right off the bat, and there's nothing to do.
The quarter, like let's take Bobby Sloak off the. If the quarterback changes his mentality, right, he can take. I would say, and this is a low number, just because it's. I don't know how it expands over the last, let's say, 8 ball games. But if CJ Stroud Thursday night against the Jets would have just had the mentality of Quinnen Williams is on the other side of the football and I've got Kenyon or Kendrick protecting me, I've got to get this thing out. He could have avoided. Or let's not talk about him. Let's talk about it from an offensive line perspective. He could have made the offensive line winning or losing a non-factor 25% of the time. And that's a low number. I think it's probably more like 40, but I'll say 25% of the time. He could have took 25% of the pressures completely off the board by just catching the football and getting it out. With Dalton Schultz here, Joe Mixon a couple of times on little angle routes open. I mean, we're giving these defenses way too much credit. They're not doing anything spectacular. And CJ, with a little bit of a mind, just tweak the mindset, could help the offensive linemen 25% of the time. That's low. That's just a little bit of a tweak.
Yeah.
We're talking about 4, 5, maybe 6 plays a game where just get it out right now. You know, don't hold it and hope that Kendrick Green gets the protection.
And at times it makes the defense and their pass rush react
yes.
to that. And we're, damn, and if all right, maybe I'll just – and maybe instead of rushing, I'm going to try to just get my hands up.
Yeah, these guys, you know, Ron, they're pinning their ears back expecting him to hold the football right now. That's the mentality.
All right, coming up, this is something that the Texans may need to do more of. They've already done a lot of it. Could they afford to do more of it? We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Yeah, I expected that. You know, I met Joe, you know, last year when we played them. And, you know, he had that dog mentality, you know, and, you know, he brought it here, you know, and that's something we needed for sure. You know, we need it. And one thing I love about Joe will call you out. Like, Joe will call me out. Joe will call his linemen out. Joe will call, you know, coaches out. He don't care, you know, and ultimately that's what you want because, you know, at the end of the day, like, we all came here for one common goal, and that's to win. And so, you know, if that's hurting somebody's feelings, you know, we grown men, we get paid to do this. So, you know, you got to be able to, you know, understand it, you know, take it for love because he really just cares about the game, you know. So, and he cares about his teams and his coaches. So, yeah, I love Joe.
All right, that's C.J. Stroud talking about his running back who I would say even with C.J., even with what Nico Collins did early, and they probably played around the same amount of games, right now Joe Mixon is the MVP of this offense and arguably the MVP of the team thus far.
Bad MF-er.
I think there's an argument. Obviously, C.J. Stroud's the quarterback, but there's an argument like that there isn't anybody that's been more valuable to this team than Joe Mixon. Every time he plays, he rushes for 100 yards, and the offense looks completely different. And And when he doesn't play, the success level of anybody else that runs the football is, I mean, not even to, I mean, to a point where Dari Ogunbowale had to get 20-plus touches. So he's been big for this team, and that is something they desperately need to continue, Clint, is the Joe Mixon, to be the productive Joe Mixon. Like, if he rushes for 70 yards, I think that's a major problem for what this offense has been given.
Well, look, I mean, to your point of Joe Mixon being the MVP, I think he's the MVP on the field with his play. And if what C.J. Stroud just said about Joe Mixon is real, he's absolutely, without a doubt, like, undisputed MVP of this football team right now. I mean, you can argue Will Anderson is playing yeah, great as well, but I mean, it ain't nothing compared to what Joe Mixon has done, and given the fact that the pass game has not been anywhere remotely close to what it was expected to be, how much more important is that run game? So I think Joe Mixon is, and I'm gonna tell you, man, that the guy that CJ just described, that's what this team needs more of. That's what this team needs more of, is the and you can define call out however you want to call out. I mean, there's a professional way to do it. There's a way to do it with winning is all that's on my mind. And then there's a childish, immature, disrespectful way to do it. Like, clearly Joe Mixon is doing it in a way of
challenging his guys.
He's challenging his guys, but it's all about winning. It's all about it's all about putting your best foot forward. It's all about being a pro. And that is ultimately, to me, what this team needs more of, is guys that one will have the ability to do that kind of thing, but also have the ability to decide when it's necessary and when it's not. I give me more Joe Mixon, please.
You know what? When you say that, I'm thinking about that, because, and I know you're talking about, give me more Joe Mixon from, you know, all elements of what Joe Mixon is. And I look over and I see Figgy Fig, who's out in the building. So make your way on out here. Mm-hmm. Oh, Figgy's out here.
Yeah.
And I heard Figgy on In the Loop earlier this week or last week when he was talking about the game. And Figgy said, damn it, man, I just got to a point where I said, hell, just get the ball to Joe Mixon every time. Mm-hmm. Just run Joe Mixon. And I'm listening to you say we need more Joe Mixon. I'm almost, like, I think they're getting into the game and they're figuring out, like, hey, Joe Mixon's the only thing that's working, and we gotta give him the ball.
I love Joe Mixon.
I'm wondering, like, if there's a thought to maybe monitoring how much and how aggressive they are in him touching the ball. Man, we're moving towards Clint, him banging, knocking on the door of 30 touches. You know, every one of these ball games, and obviously we've seen him have injuries. Do you have any concern of that, about how often he's actually getting the ball? I know you say you need more Joe Mixon, but I'm talking about in the game, because sometimes it feels like that's the only thing that's working, and, like, you know, you want to give it to him. But the last three games, Clint, he's had 25, 24, 25 carries, and he's caught the ball in the backfield a couple of times. He is pushing towards 30 touches a game, and I'm wondering how sustainable that potentially is moving forward. But damn it, it's like they got to, though. Like, it's almost like they're unable to do other things, and I think based off the conversation we just had in the last segment, that's why it's so important that they figure out other ways to get this passing game going, whether it's quick or whatever, because I think they're starting to maybe push it with how often Joe is getting the ball, because Joe getting the ball, Clint, he's giving it. I mean, he's running people over, trying to run people over. I mean, it ain't just, hey, he's touching the ball and he's getting down. Joe is laying people out.
Yeah, his run style is more what I'm worried about than it is the touches. I mean, look, what, he missed two games earlier in the season?
I think he's missed more than maybe three, yeah.
Well, yeah, so I guess it was two and a half, two and three quarters, because he went out early in that one game. So, you know, and they're going to get a bye week here in a couple of weeks. I'm not really worried about the cumulative effect of the catches. I'm more like, dude just runs so violently that I'm more concerned about one play or you know, like, it's just being so damn sore after a game that he needs a break kind of deal, because he does play hard. But, I mean, for me, I wish the Texans right now had another running back that they trusted I really like the J.J. Taylor kid. The problem is he's a rookie, and I don't know how well or how much they trust him in, like, pass protection situation, running routes, things of that nature.
And Damian Pierce can't stay healthy.
Damian Pierce can't stay healthy. Dari Agunbowale is a special teams guy, and you can't have him getting multiple touches. So I don't know what their solutions are right now, Ron. But this ain't a time to load manage. So I agree with the point. But yeah, give me more Joe Mixon, man. Just the guy that damn it, just expects more out of everybody.
No, that part yes, But boy, he'd be taking them hits. Mm-hmm. It's just like woo, boy, because that's a you don't even want to think about Joe Mixon, going out at right. all. Because that would be
guys him drop tackle.
Yeah, it was. All right, coming up, Tyler's turd list makes a return this week, and there are so many people that got a chance to make it on the glorious Tyler's turd list. We'll let you hear that coming up next. And the injury report is out officially. We'll set you up and let you know the latest on that coming up for the Texans. That's next.
Turd Ferguson.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Congratulations to Big Todd, our first winner. He won a $25 Visa gift card. We will be hooking somebody else up. Todd, stop barking. We'll be hooking somebody else up. Okay. Hooking somebody else up in the 4 o'clock hour. With a Visa gift card. All you got to do, if you're in the building or you're on your way, sign your name, put it in the raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win another $25 Visa gift card. But in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see your Houston Texans take on the Tennessee Titans and two wristbands courtesy of Bud Light for tailgating, get you some free food, free drinks. All you got to do, sign your name, put it in the raffle box. We will hook somebody up with that in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, Clint, before we get to Tyler's turd list, by the way, where are we? We are at Buffalo Wild Wings, Willow Brook Plaza, right off Tomball Parkway. So make your way on out here to hang out with us and win those prizes we just talked about. All right, Clint. I'll go with the ones that are that did not practice, and that's today. Will Anderson Jr. with the ankle has not practiced all this week, and I think that is interesting, Clint, also to know that the game they played was Thursday, so it's not like, hey, they just played Sunday. They've been off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and he hasn't been able to practice on Tuesday and Thursday, so I think that's one to look at. As well as Foley Fatakasi, same thing, has not practiced this week with a groin and shoulder issue. Kenyon Green's out for the season, we understand that. Jake Hansen, he showed up today as a did not practice with the ankle. He was limited yesterday. Dylan Horton returned to practice. He didn't practice yesterday with an illness, as well as Jerry Hughes returned. And then Shaq Mason was a full participant. Another did not practice is Damian Pierce. He missed the last couple of games. He did not practice again with that groin issue. Jimmy Ward, who returned back, he was at practice again for the second straight day in a limited capacity. And I'm glad you weren't here yesterday to see this. But, Tyler, just to let you know that Laremy Tunsil did practice today. Yesterday he had a rest day.
Christmas today. Miracle in November.
Rest day.
Yep.
That's what I'd do if I was the worst pass protecting offensive line in football.
He had a rest day yesterday, but today he was a full go.
That's great, man.
Not even on the injury list. So
took a break from them honeymoon.
After no game in a weekend?
Yeah, I was thinking to myself. But Tyler Clint, he would have lost his mind.
Are you saying it was a rest day on Wednesday?
Oh, he would have shot to the gold medal of the turn list.
So Wednesday was a rest day. That was literally Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That was 5 days removed from a game.
Rest day. And now he's not on it at all. He doesn't show up at all.
Hey, man, we just having fun, though, man.
Rest day.
We just having fun, man. We just got to execute some things, man.
Rest day right there for him. So that is the injury report there. Will Anderson Jr., Nico Collins, neither of them practiced as well. Although it is interesting, Tyler, maybe I'm tripping here. I don't even see Nico Collins listed on the injury report today. They don't even have him on there right now, so that is interesting. Aziz Alshire has practiced.
Well, he hasn't. I'm sorry to interrupt. He hasn't officially been taken off IR, right?
He's eligible, right?
So right. That might be why he's not on that list.
So that is even more of a sign why the potential of him not going coming up. And again, also for you all out there, we're day 108. 108 since Christian Harris has not been a part of playing or practicing. And it's 108 days since the start of training camp. That's when the calf was giving him problems. And he is not off IR and not a part. 108 days. We've surpassed Kyle Tucker. Well past Kyle Tucker with Christian Harris. Hopefully one day we'll find out what the hell it is. It's a hell of a calf strain, I'll tell you that.
Huh.
Hell of a calf
strain. When I came in, Todd's crew that just won the gift card.
Yeah.
They may or may not have had a couple cold beers in them, but they said that it's week after the bye week. Week 15, he's coming back, man. I said, is that y'all's official injury report? Said, yep, that's when he's coming back.
I've seen some people say that, but not anybody that usually covers the team or anybody that watches it. Not saying they don't cover the team, but, you know, the top names or the top guys that really have access.
I thought you meant Todd and his crew. I think they're not.
I've seen that around, but that he'll be there. He'll be there after the bye week. That's a hope. But hell, they don't say nothing about him.
I tell you one thing here with this injury report that sticks out. I know we got to get Tyler's turds real quick, but Jarrett Patterson being full go Wednesday, full go Thursday, coming off of a concussion.
He's starting
clearly he's doing football things without having the side effects or having the symptoms, I guess. And so you got to think that he will be.
He's in the lineup.
Yeah. That's big right there, man. Because I don't know what the answer is going to be. But it wouldn't shock me one bit if Jared Patterson's not your center and Juice Scruggs in your guard.
Yeah, or the other way. Like I feel like Patterson's going to be in the lineup. They were bringing him in before Kendrick Green, so I would imagine he would be in the lineup.
Yep.
All right, it's Thursday. Let's do it. Tyler's Turdless.
Hey, Tyler.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
Which is not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's hear it, baby. Tyler's turd list, baby. Let's go. Who's getting those wonderful awards today?
Yeah, man. Another full podium per usual. And I'm excited about this one because there was plenty of Turdish behavior on display around the professional sports world really all week. I actually had to kind of narrow this list down to these three.
You got some honorable mentions this week.
Yeah. And I want to hear y'all's at the end as well. Tyler's turds of the week. We're going to start at the bottom of the podium like we always do. The bronze medal this week, it's going to an NFL guy. It's going to a member of the Cincinnati Bengals, more specifically a receiver, a rookie receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. And our guy Patrick Creighton, who you can find on Area 45 late night chart here on Sports Radio 610, your only source of live and local sports talk in the great city of Houston. I think Patrick Creighton last night on Area 45 set this up pretty well. I'm going to play this for you, and we'll talk a little more about the bronze turd of the week.
So Jermaine Burton, wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, was supposed to have a really big role in the Bengals offense this past Sunday when they played the Raiders because T. Higgins was out with an injury, except he was benched. Burton, who's a third-round rookie who played at both Georgia and Alabama, was going to have this much better opportunity, and just coming a couple of days after he was bitching about the coaching staff not giving him enough opportunity. He said, I can't put myself in the game.
Oh, my God.
So he was supposed to be a big part of the game. Then, well, he missed a walkthrough. Not he was 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
Because of that, he was a healthy scratch. So what happens on Sunday? Shows up to the game in his pajamas.
Hell no.
And then what happens after the game? Bruh is at the Hard Rock Casino, downtown Cincy, playing the slots.
Wow.
Wearing the same sweatshirt wearing on the sidelines.
Wow. That was, again, that was Patrick Creighton, Sean Bijani right there of Area 45.
Is that Jermaine Burton that went to Arkansas? I mean, Alabama, excuse me? Yeah, that guy.
Yes, it is. Jermaine Burton. So we got this NFL rookie on our hands, boys, that to be frank, I honestly almost feel the worst for him right now in this situation as he's getting this bronze turd medal. Because this is clearly a kid, an NFL rookie, that just, he doesn't get it. Like, he ain't picking up the opportunity that has been put in front of him to play professional football for his career path. He's getting to do what most men in our country would love to do, and that's play this children's game of football for money. Don't worry, Clint, I'm not saying the Texans should be having fun and all that. I'm not on board with that. That's not what I'm saying.
I think the real upset here is that we got a young man that's under 24 years old that wears pajamas. I think that is an interesting thought there.
Well, it gets a little colder up there in Cincy.
Nah, but I mean, put on some sweatpants. I think it's an upset. Somebody under 23 years old that has pajamas and shows up in pajamas. That's interesting.
Oh, that's a good point. But yes, Jermaine Burton, this rookie receiver for the Bengals, he's getting the bronze medal. When I heard Area 45 talking about this, I just kind of like Bijani there. It's just kind of disgusting, man. Like, understand what's being put in front of you, the blessing, the opportunity in front of you to play football for literally millions of dollars if you do it right. We need to get this guy with some of our oil workers or something down here in Houston, some of these roughnecks that go out there and bust their ass getting that black gold, and then they do it with a smile on their face. Man, get your stuff together if you really want to be a professional football player. You ain't going to last very long, my friend. Am I right or am I right, Clint?
You are very correct. Hell, you know which side of the coin I'm on with this one.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I don't, I mean, what a clown, man.
Yeah, I had a feeling that's how you'd feel. But that's our bronze medal. Moving on real quick here, silver medal on Tyler's Turds of the Week here on The Drive, Sports Radio 610. It's appropriate that we do this turd list, the Turds of the Week, as a podium. Whenever we were getting it started, I believe we were in the middle of the Olympics. But if you remember, there was there was a certain athlete, if you can call it that, out of Australia participating in the breakdancing competition in this past year's Olympics. And this little lady out of Australia from down under, she disgusted her own people, man. She did so badly in this breakdancing competition in the Olympics. Take a listen to what some news anchors over in Australia had to say about Ray Gunn, the breakdancer representing Australia.
What the world's really been interested in is what the hell was Ray Gunn up to at the Paris Olympics? I don't buy this, Liz. You know, I don't.
We've seen footage of other female breakdancers in Australia 20 times better than her who didn't make it. She won in the competition that she set up and she got to go to the Olympics. She owes Australia an apology for embarrassing us on the world stage.
She owes Australia an apology.
I was doing her.
Is that what it looked like?
Whoa. No kidding. That's what she was doing. They're breakdancing like that.
But this breakdancer, and please go Google it if you've never seen her performance. It's worth a laugh. This breakdancer out of Australia, Ray Gunn, she announced her retirement, boys. And just to put it very plain and simply, I just don't think you should be able to retire from a profession you never really got off the ground to begin with, that you never really showed you could excel in or even be slightly successful in, because she was no breakdancer, but she's retiring for breakdancing, and for that she's getting this damn silver turd medal. How do y'all feel about it?
You know, the real issue here is that it could even happen. That we have decided to put something and put the Olympic.
Well, I think it's done now.
Well, I mean, that's how silly this is. I mean, we're what are we doing? I mean, the Olympics are one of the most beautiful things ever created, and now we put breakdancing in, and not only that, but enable to get in. You can literally set up your own competition, rig it so you win, and then go embarrass yourself in front of God and everybody.
It's a hell of a deal.
Have, and then have a pity party. I'm going to retire because I don't want the credit. No, you. I mean, you wanted the attention. I mean, you got
your
the attention.
Countrymen, we're embarrassed, Ray Gunn.
What are we doing?
Break dancing in, softball out.
I mean, what are we doing? I mean, how stupid do we have to be here?
No softball. Who's got the gold?
Yeah, I know we're up against it, boys. That's the silver medal. Real quick, this week's gold turd trophy winner. I got the golden turd trophy in my hand. It is going to Iron Mike Tyson. I would never say it to his face. I would never try to hand him this golden turd in person because I like my life and I don't want to get hit and die. But, man, Mike Tyson. Well, Mike Tyson, he mistakenly thought a fella who is technically, air quotes, a grown man, but struggles, not struggles, but deals with dwarfism. A grown man that has dwarfism, Iron Mike Tyson, met him for the first time, and he thought this man was a baby.
Hezbollah.
The short guy. The short guy.
Is that a real video when you cradling him? Is
it like, yeah. You know.
Did you know he was?
There was a baby. There was a baby. And I didn't know. I'm hungry. Punching me. I don't know, man. I thought he was children.
Yeah.
I'm hugging on this guy.
You cradling him, kissing him. Yeah, I didn't know if you actually knew
him. He's 26 years old.
Yes. He's talking about the Russian man named Hezbollah. He's a social media presence for the Russians over there. He has dwarfism. There is video of Iron Mike Tyson meeting this man and literally grabbing him and holding him like a baby because he didn't see his face. Iron Mike, we got to be better, bro. I mean, I'm giggling a bit at this, but we got to be better. You can't be picking up 26-year-old men thinking they're an infant.
Yeah, actually, I think Mike can. So
Mike felt like he was sounded like I didn't see the video, but it sounded like he was disappointed in himself. He was almost like, oh man, like he felt bad about it.
You got to see the video; it's hilarious.
DJ Moore would have been my honorable mention. Tough week for DJ Moore, and his explanation. By the way, he said he was reindeering. I had never heard of that that before, but he was reindeering while he loafed off the field. That's what he referred to it as. What you got coming up at the four?
All right, should the Texans play Nico Collins and Will Anderson if they are able? Should they play those guys Sunday night versus the Detroit Lions? We want to hear from you. 713-572-4610. Let's do.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do that next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.